one day God showed you your need. Daniel chapter 3, we read the story of who we call the three Hebrews. It was, I believe, of the Lord. Brother Schmig mentioned that in his Sunday school lesson, not knowing what we'd be speaking about this morning. Daniel chapter 3. Let me just say by way of introduction, and we'll get back to Daniel chapter 3, I promise you. But the book of Daniel is a tremendous, tremendously important book of the Bible. It has been probably the book of the Bible that the scoffers have done their best to try to discredit. And the reason is because it is so accurate that they would have to try to discredit it. You read the book of Daniel, it's just tremendous. World War II was one of the most bloody conflict, if not the bloodiest conflict, that the earth has ever known. Estimates that are conservative say 50 million people, some think as many as 60 million people died during the Second World War. And may I say that it is a war that could have been preempted by force and prevented. Most were sleeping or willingly ignorant to the rise of Adolf Hitler and the building of the Nazi war machine in the mid-1930s. There was one voice today, when we look back, there was one voice of reason in that dark era. His name was Winston Churchill. He was called by those who did not like him a fat little warmonger. The people of England and Europe deemed him crazy, a madman, a doom and gloomer. He watched how this little man in Germany seized power, and he began spreading hatred through decrees and laws. How spineless leaders in Europe tried doctrines of diplomacy and appeasement and failed. He kept urgently warning as the Nazis moved across, they invaded the Rhineland and Austria and Czechoslovakia, that the Führer must be stopped. In September of 1938, Neville Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister at the time, made three futile attempts to meet with Hitler and secure peace through diplomacy and appeasement. On October 1st, he returned back with his famous scrap of paper in his hand, and he said, we have agreed, us and Germany have agreed, we will have peace. 1938, for those of you that know history. And he was cheered, and the crowds roared that we were going to have peace. On October 5th, 1938, at the House of Commons, Mr. Churchill, despite the popularity of Neville Chamberlain's treaty, gave one of the most truthfully scathing speeches since the 23rd chapter of Matthew was penned. Let me read you just a portion of that speech as we get into our message today. He said that that treaty was a total and unmitigated defeat. He further stated that the British people should know the truth. They should know that there has been gross neglect and deficiency in our defenses. They should know that we have sustained a defeat without a war, and the consequences of which will travel far with us along the road. They should know that we have passed an awful milestone in history. And do not suppose that this is the end. This is only the beginning of reckoning. This is only the first sip, the first foretaste of a bitter cup, which will be proffered to us year by year. In his book, Never Give In, this speech was written. I'd say 50 to 60 million dead later that Mr. Chamberlain was wrong and Mr. Churchill was right. You say, what are you trying to tell us today, Pastor Rich? Well, the war officially began on September 1st, 1939, when Germany ripped through Poland. in their tanks, their blitzkrieg. On September 3rd, 1939, because he had given an ultimatum to Hitler and had not heard back from his friend of the treaty, Neville Chamberlain was forced by de facto to declare war on Germany. And that war would continue in Europe until May 8th, 1945. We know that as VE Day. Some of you remember that. You remember VE Day. In early 1940, the British and their allies sent a force of some 350,000 men, most of their professional soldiers, to the Low Countries of Europe to try to stem the German advance. And they got caught in what they call a pincer movement, which is basically like two scissors coming together. The Germans were coming this way, and they were forced into an area known as Dunkirk. The British Expeditionary Force at Dunkirk. It's a great study. I don't have time to give it all to you today. But as England and the world appeared, they knew for sure what was going to happen to these soldiers. Those soldiers sent back to London a very simple telegraph. They were trapped. There was no place for them to go. They sent back a little telegraph. And it said, "But if not." Three simple words. "But if not." The Germans couldn't figure it out, Brother Schmig. They had no idea what that meant. See, because they've been burning Bibles for a long time in Germany. So they didn't have any idea what that meant. But the English people, who were a biblically literate people, understood what that meant. It goes right back to our story here. In Daniel chapter 3, we have the story of the three Hebrews. Their real names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were named for Babylonian gods here. I prefer to call them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Amen. That's the name they were given by their godly parents. But here, the king comes along, and he sets up a golden image, and he brings all the provinces along, and he says, listen, when you hear the sound of the cornet and the sackbut and the psaltery and the flute and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship that image. And boy, I'll tell you what, they must have stuck out, Brother Horse, like sore thumbs. Because everybody fell down except old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood up. They stood up. And of course, we have the whining Chaldeans that come back and they say, "Oh, king, you're not going to believe this. You said that everybody had to fall down and worship, and we did because we like you and we want to do what you say. But there's certain of the Jews, they won't fall down and worship. Wah, wah, wah." You just hear them, amen, whining. And the king said, "What? What? They didn't fall down and worship me? Bring them hither." And of course, he brings them in front of him and he says, "Hey, I just want to make sure you got the message. I'm the king. And I said, when you hear the music, fall down and worship." By the way, that's going on today. Amen. I'm not just talking about rock music or anything like that. But there's a certain quote-unquote PC crowd that says, if you don't see it our way, you're a hate monger and you're a bigot, and you better see it our way. You better fall down and worship. Listen, I decided a long time ago that I wasn't going to fall down and worship at the altar of ecumenicalism. Listen, I don't care what the Lutherans are doing this morning. I don't care what the American Baptists or anybody else is doing. I care what's going on right here, right now. I decided I wasn't going to fall down and worship at the altar of political correctness. Listen, some things need to be said because thus saith the Lord, whether anybody likes it or not. And so these three Hebrews, they decided that God had said prohibited worshiping of idols and bowing down, amen, in the first two commandments. And so they said to him, look at it, in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. When he said, "Hey, by the way, if you don't fall down, I'm going to cast you into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Just so we're straight here, so we understand each other, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said in verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You study what that word means. It was, we're not afraid to answer you. We're not worried about what our answer is going to be. We're not. Okay, they weren't being disrespectful. They just said, listen, in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Because remember, just a couple verses up, Nebuchadnezzar said, who's the God who can deliver you out of my hand? They said, we're about to tell you who he is. They said, we serve the God who can deliver from the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But then I like what he says. He says, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Either way, if you throw us in the furnace, we'll be delivered out of your hand. But if not, they said, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said those three little words, but if not. But if our God chooses not to deliver us out of your hand, just know that whether you throw us in the furnace or not, we will not serve thy gods. And this was the message that the British Expeditionary Force at Dunkirk, which looked like it was about to be decimated by the Germans, sent back. They sent back this little note, but if not. But if not. They said, basically in import, and again, the Germans did not understand it, they said, we'll fight with the last tank, with the last gun, with the last bullet, with the last rock, and when we're out of that, we'll fight with our bare hands. Just know that we are going to be faithful to the last man. And everybody in England knew as they sent that out what that meant. We are going to be faithful to the last man, no matter what happens, but if not. But if not. By the way, faithfulness is something that is dying in Christianity. Faithfulness. It's still important to be faithful, and all God's people said. Here are these soldiers, and they give us that great example out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. I like what Lee Robertson said, pastor of the large church in Chattanooga. He said, the Highland Park Baptist Church, he said this, you may not be much, but you can be faithful. And that is the truth. You may not have great talents like Brother Blanke and Pastor Mayer that got up here and sang with the great voices that God's given, but you can be faithful. You may not be able to give large offerings like some in our church, but you can be faithful with what God has given you. Listen, you may never go and preach all over the country like some famous preachers, but you listen to me, you can still come out every Saturday and try to win people to Jesus Christ. You can be faithful. And you know what Loomis Park Baptist Church needs? We need some men like at Dunkirk that I'm sure as they sent that message, they swallowed pretty hard, Brother Merrill. They probably thought, I'm never going to see my wife and kids again. It's all over. The Germans are coming. They have superior armor. They have superior numbers. But you know what? But if not, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. And what Loomis Park needs is some but if not Christians. That's what you need to be. A but if not Christian. But if not. Hey, whether it goes well or it doesn't, but if not, I'm going to be faithful. If financial reverse comes into my life, I'm going to be faithful. If God blesses, I'm going to be faithful. But if not, I'm going to be faithful. The Scriptures give us some great examples of people being faithful despite difficult circumstances. I just read this morning, as I was reading to Eric this morning. Eric is not a morning person. He's almost two, amen. But he's much like his mother in that vein, amen. Not a morning person at all. And we give Eric a little juice and a little cereal, and the next thing you know, he is laying up against your side. And so I took my Bible out this morning and was reading him the story of Joseph. We were reading Genesis 39 and Genesis 40. And listen, Joseph had the attitude that, hey, you know what? God didn't die the day my brothers sold me into slavery. God didn't die the day I was falsely accused and sent into prison. God has a plan for my life, and I am going to be faithful. And he went from the prison to the pedestal, amen, second in command in Egypt, the richest, most powerful nation in the world. Why? Because he had the attitude of, but if not, even in prison, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. How about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? Boy, how'd you like to have Jeremiah's ministry? Tell you what, Brother Becker, no converts and not a real nice message. Not a everything's going my way message. Not a, hey, this can help you walk with God message. It's the, Jeremiah's message is always judgment, 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 judgment. But he said, I'm going to be faithful. And he was literally sunken down into the mire where the filth of the city went. And he said, I'm going to be faithful. Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. He said, well, God's delivered me before. God's blessed me over and over. I think I'll just be faithful. And as those hungry, ravening lions came up to him, and they went and they said, look at that. Boy, does he look good. And they went to bite into him and went. Nothing. And I think Daniel just grabbed one of those lines. I don't know, it's not in the original Hebrew, amen. But he just said, sit down over there, I need a pillow, amen. And he just rested all night. Why? He just decided, but if not, God can be trusted, I'm going to be faithful. Over and over, John the Baptist taught us, but if not, I'm going to be faithful. How about the Lord Jesus Christ, folks? What did it say about him in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sounds like a but if not attitude to me. I'm going to be faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Just as the three Hebrews in our text said, we're going to be faithful and we're not going to bow even if we burn. Just as the men of Dunkirk typed out that telegraph message, but if not, what we need are some but if not Christians. Let me give you just a few things this morning. I'll go through them quickly. Where we need to be and have the attitude of but if not. Number one, we need to have the but if not attitude, the faithful attitude of reading. Reading the Word of God. You need to have a but if not attitude towards the reading of the Word of God. Listen, folks, this is something that many Christians talk about doing. We talk about our Bible. We carry our Bible to church, and we should, and all God's people said. By the way, it's real hard to get a meal if you don't have it with you. Amen. Brother Schmig mentioned that in Sunday school. It'd be real helpful if you brought your Bible to Sunday school. All that. I understand all that. But listen to me. This is something we talk about. We talk about it as the Word of God, but we don't read it as the Word of God. We don't read it as literally the only book that God ever wrote. Do you have time every day in this book? Every day. Every day. Most of us would say, I have time every day in front of the television, or I got to check my email, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Got to have time every day to exercise. Got to eat, of course. Do you eat? You know what we need to have the attitude of? But if not, I'm going to be faithful in reading the Word of God. Listen, folks, we can't defend the faith. We can't know the faith if we don't even know what the faith is. It's contained in this book. And to have the attitude, just like the men of Dunkirk, and just like these three Hebrews, but if not, I'm going to be faithful in reading the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. There's only one way to get to know God. Only one. By reading the Word of God. Listen, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, the Word tells us in this book. Read it through in a year? Absolutely. Have devotions every day? Amen. Study a topic? Yes, sir. Master a book of the Bible? Yes, 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 yes. We need to have a but if not attitude in reading the Word of God. Anything so you'll get your nose in this blessed book. Let's be faithful in reading the Word of God. Secondly, not only reading, but let's have a but if not attitude about praying. Praying. Prayer is the most talked about thing in Christianity and the least practiced. Least practiced. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. I know many Christians that could never sing that song because they have never had a sweet hour of prayer. Listen, try it sometime. Pray for everybody on your list. Pray for all your family. Pray for preachers you know. Get done and look up at how long you've spent in prayer. I guarantee you probably be about 15 or 20 minutes tops. Why? Listen, folks, we have to understand that prayer moves the hand of an almighty God. Brother Schmig mentioned in Sunday school about agnostics. They don't really believe God is or that He can be. I think there's a lot of Christian agnostics out there. The reason we don't pray is because we don't believe God will answer. Listen, God answers. How many people have we seen God heal of cancer? In just recent months, folks. Well, I'll tell you, it ought to drive us to our knees in prayer. And we ought to have this attitude. Whatever happens, I'm going to have the attitude of, but if not, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to pray. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray, pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you do know what to do, pray. When you don't know anything, pray, pray, pray. God wants you to pray. Let's be faithful in prayer. Have you ever been in love before? Now is a great time for you to husbands to look at your wives and thank me afterwards. Amen. I give you a great opportunity there. If you didn't take advantage of it, it's your own fault. Amen. Listen, I've never known two people to be in love that didn't want to talk to each other and listen to each other. I love Jesus, really. A couple verses in the morning, prayer at a meal. Doesn't sound like love to me. Amen. Oh, me. Hey, listen, you're really in love with Jesus Christ, you'll want to talk to Him in prayer. You're really in love with Jesus Christ, you'll want to read His Word and listen to what He has to say to you. Because this Word of God, it's personal. It's a personal love letter to you. Reading, praying, but if not, number three, in witnessing. Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question, church. Do people know that you're saved in your neighborhood or where you work? Do they know that you're a Christian? If not, why not? Amen? They ought to know. Listen, I remember the times that Pastor John takes the young people on trips. I remember the times that we would take trips, Brother Schmig, and I'm telling you, you could go from rest stop and tell where I'd been. There was a trail of breadcrumbs of gospel tracks, amen? Listen, we want people to know. And by the way, witnessing is not just cold door knocking and asking somebody, if you died today, would you go to heaven? It's passing out track. It's living a life that says, there's something different about that man or woman. Drawing God. God draws people to you. Now listen, I believe you still have to open your mouth, amen, and speak to somebody. But listen to me. We ought to be faithful, 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 whether anybody gets saved or not, Brother Heath, in witnessing. In witnessing. We all go through dry spells. By the way, a tree that bears fruit, it doesn't bear it in March, does it? Amen? It grows again in March. God prunes it, or we prune it, and then the fruit comes off a little bit later, doesn't it? It takes some time. Listen, but here's the idea. From March to August, let's just be faithful. Amen? Let's just be faithful. If we're faithful, we have every reason from the Word of God to expect God to help us to be fruitful. Faithful in witnessing. Let's be faithful. It's sad to say there are Christian young people in this church today. Nobody knows you're a Christian. And you like it that way. You say, why would a Christian young person like it that way? Because you think you can keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. But the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You may think you are, but you're not. You're serving the other master. Amen. You're not serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who saved you, died for you, and bought you with his own blood. Listen, we ought to have a but if not attitude. I'm going to be faithful in reading and praying and witnessing. Fourthly, I'm going to be faithful in believing God. Faith is trusting God. It's trusting God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11:6 says. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, let's be more faithful to trust God this year and depend on Him more than we did last year. Let's trust God more today than we did yesterday. I tell you, I go back, always think about my days when the Lord saved me in 1995, just 15 years back. And then in 1996, my wife and I got married. And the end of 1996, I surrendered to the call of God to preach the Word of God. And I remember that. I remember the men of the church coming and laying hands on me, Brother Kelly. And I remember how God moved in our heart to go to Midwestern Baptist College in 1997. And I think, my goodness, how did I do it? How did I do it? And the answer is, I didn't do it. I believe that God could do it. I remember I was sharing this week, I preached at a fellowship meeting, and the CFO of Midwestern was at the fellowship meeting, was at his church, Dr. Stanley. And I said, thank God for Dr. Stanley. I would not have graduated if it weren't for Dr. Stanley. He kind of smiled, and I said, well, we had a stack of bills this high when we went to Bible college because we were married, amen. And then when you get to Bible college, you get another stack on top of that, amen. It's a blessing. Now, they didn't make a smaller stack, and made it bigger. And I thought, oh my goodness, I could barely take care of the bills before at home, and what am I going to do? And so I was working a job and mowing lawns. I would mow lawn from 8 to 1 every morning in the summer, and then I'd work a job from 2 to midnight. And did that all summer, just worn out. And that fall, Dr. Stanley said to my wife, would you like to work in the finance office? And she said, sure. And he said, oh, by the way, we take care of your school bill completely if you work in the finance office. And I said, amen. Because at Midwestern, wives went free and husbands had a school bill, and that means they wiped out my school bill. You say, how did you do that? Listen to me, I promise you, it wasn't me. I was beating my brains out trying to pay that bill off. But I just believed God called us there, and God wanted us there, and God would provide for us. Listen, if you're a child of God, you know what you need to do? You need to have a but-if-not attitude of believing what God said. Believe what He said. He hasn't lied. He hasn't made a mistake. He won't start with you. Faith, believing God, reading the Word of God, praying, witnessing, believing. Number five, we ought to have a but if not attitude about gathering in the house of God. Hebrews 10:24-25. So let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let me read that again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't want to be the some in that passage that don't gather. You're going to have to give an account. By the way, every time we miss church, when we know where we ought to be, you know what we're going to have to do one day? Give an account. Give an account. There's something called the judgment seat of Christ. And God is going to say, I commanded you to assemble together. Why didn't you? That's a scary thing. Listen to me. We need to have the attitude when the church doors are open and I can be here, I'm going to be here. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So important. Again, today is not the day for less church. It's the day for more church. The day is approaching fast. The days are getting darker and darker. We need to assemble, gather, encourage one another. Commanded to consider one another. Let's be faithful to come to church. But if not in reading, but if not in praying, but if not in witnessing, but if not believing, but if not gathering, but if not in loving one another. You know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves. I've been doing some marital counseling and just letting young folks know, hey, I just wanted to let you know, you're going to get on each other's nerves. And they looked at me with shock and horror. I said, oh my goodness, I'm counseling visitors from heaven today. No, they didn't do that. As I was telling them that they were going to get on each other's nerves, and I'm going on and on and on, they looked at each other and went like this. Was he in the car on the ride over here? Oh my goodness, we need to have a but if not attitude. If a person's a brother and sister in Christ, I'm going to love them. Love them. Love is proven by one's actions. You can say I love you all day long, but your actions prove what you really love. Love is proven by giving. We ought to give our time and our talents and our treasures to God. Romans 12:1, we preached on a couple Sunday nights ago. The idea of presenting your body a living sacrifice. True love for God is manifested in obedience to the Word of God. If ye love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said in John 14:15. The idea of being considerate. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we that from him, that he which loveth his God, loveth his brother also. We need to have a but if not at. Hey, the next time somebody comes and rubs your fur the wrong way, why don't you just say, I'm going to love that person. Did you know I've learned that everybody has an occasional bad day? Even you, Pastor? Talk to my wife. You'll be there for a while if you're talking about my bad days. Amen? She can keep you a while. I have bad days. You have bad days. And the person who, quote unquote, offends you, they might be having a bad day. They might be in a lot of physical pain. Something might trigger them. You listen to me. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means it's our responsibility not to be offended. Amen? Amen? Why? Because we're supposed to love one another. True love, that idea of loving, gathering, believing, witnessing, praying, reading. Number 7, let's be faithful. Let's have a but if not attitude of watching for the coming of the Lord. For as he came the first time, he will come the second time, church. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Hey, whatever you do, make sure you wouldn't be ashamed to do it when the Lord came back. Amen. Anything. Why? Because the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I remember when I first got saved and I had trouble with drink. I wasn't a drop-down drunk, but I like to have a six-pack in the fridge. And I remember literally one time drinking a beer and thinking, I can't do this to the glory of God. What if God came back right now? I'd be ashamed, like that verse says. Some will be ashamed of him at his coming. Be doing something, looking at something, listening to something, being somewhere you ought not to be. Hey, let's be faithful in watching. Let's live every day as if Christ died this morning, rose this afternoon, and is coming back this evening. You know what you'll do then? You'll be faithful. You'll have a but if not attitude in watching. Reading the Word of God, praying, witnessing, believing, gathering, loving, watching. You say, what about the story, Pastor? Back to the story. Can I tell you it ended well? They had that attitude, but if not, go ahead and play the music. We're not bowing. And the king got so upset, he said, throw them into the fiery furnace. And the guards came and took them, and they opened the fiery furnace. And literally, the fire was so hot, it killed the guards. They got in that fiery furnace. I don't know if they crawled in or what, but I tell you what, they got in that fiery furnace, and they said, it's cold in here. Man, I got goosebumps. Anybody get a blanket? It's freezing in here. And they looked into the fire, and they said, King, did we not cast three men in there? He said, yes. The king said, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And oh my goodness, how God protected them and blessed them. Why? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I don't care who you are today. I don't care how many years you've been saved or how many minutes you've been saved. I don't care how you backslid or how you haven't. You can be faithful right where you are. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray that you would